Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. We have college football coming up, plenty of it. First, I want to thank the guys from last week who did a wonderful job. Aaron Renning batting leadoff, gave us 2-0. Both overs hit. And despite a quarterback change in one of them, Paul Stone got there with Northwestern. I believe the total did lose. And then great insight always from Brad Edwards, really as a handle of all things college football. I know that from my college game day on ESPN radio days with him. So good to have him and really appreciate all their feedback and insight there. Straight ahead, we have Preston Johnson. You know him from this podcast, Daily Wager, every day, and does great, great content for ESPN.com's chalk section. He's a math modeler, communicates the analytics, the deep numbers dive into a more digestible language for us non-math guys, non-math modelers. So we really appreciate what those statistics tell us. And he's going to present those. And then also Chuck Edel, who's been on the podcast before. I believe we've done college basketball with him. So he obviously does football and has some overs. So we have a bunch of totals coming your way. That's the flavor of the week, apparently. I am on two sides, though. I am on Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. We're going to talk about the over in that game by both guys like the over there. I do too, but I like Ole Miss too. I just think they're going to light it up against this Mississippi State defense. I know the rivalry games and all that, but it doesn't matter. I think they win by double digits in this one behind Lane Kiffin. And I'm also on Nevada. Usually we force the bailout game on the islands late at night on a Saturday, but this is actually one of my favorite plays. I'm laying the 7 with the Wolfpack. Last year they got waxed at home, 54-3. Going for a little payback. So I think they're going to be focused on this game, not have that letdown spot that maybe they would normally off a big win last weekend against San Diego State. Impressive win. So I like Nevada minus 7. I don't think this Hawaii team is very good. The result was very misleading last week against Boise. They were getting – it was a very one-sided matchup. Now, Nevada is obviously not the same as Boise, but I think the Wolfpack have plenty of firepower here to go take care of business on the islands. Really inconsistent quarterback play, I'd say, from Hawaii is their biggest issue on offense. Not the same – sort of track meet high-flying Rainbow Warriors that we've seen in years past. And I don't think they're not that great at home either. So I like Nevada minus a 7 and Ole Miss minus a 9.5. And well, some other plays, all of our plays are on ESPN.com's chalk section, but let's get to the insight now.
Go pick me out a winner, Bobby.
Ain't that the truth. And we're going to try to keep it going here with Preston Johnson, a gentleman and beard you recognize from Daily Wager. And he's obviously been on the podcast here a bunch. It is good to connect with you, my friend, traveling with family, but still has time for our loyal listeners / betters. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Of course.
I'm excited to get some kids to maybe in the background to pop on the pod. We'll see if that materializes. Sure. Let's start with a big game. Notre Dame, North Carolina. I say big because a lot of intrigue here in the ACC. And just obviously Notre Dame, one of the blue bloods, if you will, in college football. And you're on the total here. Why?
So, I mean, I think this is interesting. I think we talk about that square sharp concept all the time. And I think the general perception will be after they see the North Carolina Wake Forest score when they last played, North Carolina won 59-53. And if you automatically like the over in this game, then it's like this square connotation that, of course, you do. There were so many points. But look, this isn't like a new thing for the Tar Heels. It's nothing too drastic. Like they gave up 45 to Virginia Tech. They gave up 44 to Virginia. They gave up to an awful Florida State team who they lost to outright. They gave up 31. And so their defense just the struggles for a team that's, I think, considered a top 15 team. Now they're going up against a Notre Dame team that's, you know, great offensively. They can do it through the air as well as on the ground. And by the way, the only three teams that UNC has played that rank better in EPA per rush attempt than Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Virginia, those three teams that they gave up 31 plus two. So I just think I see Notre Dame and the Irish doing a similar thing. And on the other side, look, UNC, they're top 10 in efficiency metrics offensively, EPA, success rate, yards per play, however you want to dice it. And so I think they'll be able to keep up, at least to some extent. That's why the spread's still, you know, only 5 points, which I think is about fair. But I think this total should be in the low 70s. So 67 range still right now, I think that's worth a bet over.
You know, this Irish team is legit, and whether they're going to compete in the playoff and make a run, that's a whole nother story. But it's a far cry in my eyes from the Manti Te'o Notre Dame team that got waxed in the championship game against Alabama. They didn't belong on the same field. But I think the Irish, with these tight ends and the receivers and the offense, is legit. And we saw that against Clemson. And I think they can score at will. We've seen that. We saw it against BC. A lot of us were on the underdog there, but you were on the favorite because you said over the course of four quarters, whatever flat spot there is, they'll be able to counteract. And I like this North Carolina team, the two-headed running back. So that over is the only way I would play. I was pretty much on that as well all week. So it's good to know that you're on it as well.
Nice.
A popular play here on the pod is, I feel like everyone's on this, is the Egg Bowl. But, you know, it's unfortunate we don't have it Thursday night, especially now that the Ravens-Steelers game is getting moved to Sunday. It would be nice to have it, but we have it on Saturday. And you're on the over. I guess my question is, why do you expect Mississippi State to keep up scoring? Because we know Ole Miss will be able to score.
All right. Well, for starters, Ole Miss's defense, all right, they rank 123rd out of 127 teams this season defensively in EPA and success rate. Those are kind of the two most prominent at this point efficiency metrics that measure really how good you are at playing defense, right? They're bottom five in the country in both. And what we saw Mike Leach's offense do against Georgia this past week, they scored 24, I believe. That was at least somewhat promising. And then we've seen them do it against similarly bad defenses like LSU in the opener, right? So if they can't score on this team, then yeah, it's going to be a loser. Ole Miss on the other side, you know, one of the better offenses in the country. I just have this projected again, another one that I have in the 70s that you can get 67, 67 and a half that is just too low. And I don't know if, and I talked about this in the ESPN Chalk article that's going to go up soon with these games we're doing for the week. But, you know, the vast majority of my bets, I'm generally just looking at projections where they differ from the market. And, you know, when I write up the breakdowns, I have to kind of identify the point spread or the total. Why is it off, and kind of reason through it. I couldn't find anything on this one. Look, the wind is like 6 to 13 miles per hour, which isn't too significant. That's the early forecast. Is it because it's a rivalry game? It's an Egg Bowl, but I looked back historically. There's nothing that says rivalry games go under way more frequently than overs do. So I don't understand it. This is like an automatic. This should be low 70s, and I think we're still getting about 4.5 points of value. So I like over in this one as well.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful rationale. I like how you do try to find where the numbers are different, and that is always interesting. Your presentation of analytics is really second to none. And real quick, EPA expected points added. Kind of how do they like assess that?
Sure. I mean, it's literally on a play-by-play basis. You know, I think 5 years ago, everyone was using yards per play, which is kind of outdated now. And success rate measures, really, if you're able to get X amount of yards you need, depending on the down. So it's a little more in-depth. And then points per play, or your expected points per play, is really kind of just this other level, which has been utilized in the NFL more frequently the last few years. And now is becoming, I think, more of a mainstay in college football as well, where it's going to be more predictive than, say, yards per play. It's really how many points are you expected to generate every time you run a play against your opponent. And ultimately, the, you know, the name of the game is try to score more points than them. So you can get a good gauge of where teams are at. It's not adjusted for strength of schedule or anything like that. I do that myself with my own strength of schedule weighting, but at least, you know, to have something that kind of gives you an idea of where teams are at is at the very least a good base for people to start looking into.
Good. Well said. Succinct. Nicely done. Let's go to the Big Ten. A team we haven't seen in a few weeks is Maryland. Obviously, the offense has kind of exploded with Tua's brother the last couple games. They scored at least 35. And you're on an over here at Indiana.
More square overs. I have four of them this week, just coincidentally. All four totals I bet this week are over. I don't know if this is because, like, Maryland hasn't played in 3 weeks. Tua's brother, is it Talia Tagovailoa, I think is how you say his name. Like, he, under center, like, they can move the ball. We saw it against Minnesota. We saw it against Penn State. They're showing in the opener now against Northwestern after that awkward offseason. It's not looking nearly as bad anymore. They only scored 3 points in that game. They've only played three total games. Their offense still ranks number 9 in expected points added, EPA. They're number 29 in success rate. So they're top 30, and I think the two most worthwhile or significant efficiency metrics. And they're only improving just because, you know, he's only had a few games under his belt. And the Maryland defense, on the other end, they rank outside the top 100 in both efficiency metrics. Against the run or the pass, it doesn't matter. However you want to dice it up, everyone scores on them. And we just saw Michael Penix and Indiana throw for nearly 500 yards against Ohio State Buckeyes in, you know, their defense in Columbus. So he'll be able to duplicate that if they want to. I think 62.5 is still the current number in the market. And I had this closer to where some of those other totals are, lined around 67. I think this one should be 67, and it's only 62.5. Some of the Indiana defensive metrics, I think, when you adjust for schedule, aren't as good as they are on the surface. We saw that against Ohio State. And I think we'll see that again. I think Maryland can get some points on the board. And if that's the case, then, you know, this should go over the 62.5.
I'm kind of eyeing Maryland, the Terps, in the first quarter. I've talked about this on air, like those flat spots. It's really risky to take for four quarters.
So is it 3.5? You get a hook on a field goal?
I only see the money line right now on DraftKings. Okay. I mean, it's only Wednesday. I'm waiting for it to come out. But like that BC Notre Dame game, like Notre Dame was kind of flat, but after the end of the day, they just ended up being like so much better.
Good point.
But the first quarter got there. I think BC even like won the first quarter.
Yeah, it was 14-3, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was more like also BC and the quarterback wanted it badly and whatever, all those narratives. But some of these, like, it's nice that we're talking about the Hoosiers capable of a flat spot given where the program is now. So that's kind of cool. So those are the three little bit big games. But you added another one this morning in a team that's after my heart. You're after my heart because I love this team now.
San Jose State. Yeah. It's unfortunate because last week I had played the over against Fresno State. I know you loved the Spartans and the game was canceled. And the total when I bet it was 59.5 and 60. I bet both of those numbers last week. And if I was betting that number against Fresno State, I sure as heck need to be betting 58 to the over with the Boise State Broncos. This is a Boise State Broncos offense that ranks top 11 in both EPA and success rate, despite playing multiple games this season without their starting quarterback. And that BYU game, their backup quarterback got injured, I think, on the second snap. And so they were playing with a third and fourth string. All of the data includes all of that. They're still an offense that ranks top 11 in most of those metrics. So they're going to do whatever they want, I think, to this San Jose State defense, who has played a bunch of teams that like UNLV, San Diego State, no one that really compares on that side of the ball. And then Boise defensively, probably their most underachieving defense they've had in quite some time. Through the years, they're outside the top 100 against the run. They have a really young secondary that I think the San Jose State offense, absolutely either quarterback can take advantage of. So this is one, I think I had it like 63.7 is like my projected average total. So at 58.5, I believe some are showing in the market there. I still like it at 59 or better. It's a worthwhile over as well.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about the quarterback situation because I'm confused with what the Spartans are doing. I mean, Nash does a little bit, but then the other, they're like both good. I just don't know. I mean, you know, the old saying, you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I just wish they would be more, I don't know, predictable for, that's not the ideal word, but I mean, you said they're both kind of like interchangeable, if you will, on a model.
As far as their efficiency is concerned, it's really close. Now, Nick Starkel, he transferred from A&M. He transferred from some SEC school, and he was the starter. He got hurt. So that's why it's kind of been they've been in and out. And Nash is like a really competent backup.
Right.
And he also can do more with his legs. He's not as good of a passer, but he can do more with his legs. And so that's why you never really saw them drop off when Starkel was out. Now, I'm pretty sure he started and played just about the majority of the UNLV game, I believe was the last one that they
Starkel did.
Yeah. So he'll be the guy. He's the guy that's expected to play. But if he was to get re-injured or something, I mean, Nash is a fine backup to have. And it kind of adds another twist to what they're trying to do offensively. But I do think Starkel's a better option against Boise State just because they do have a young secondary that we've seen other teams take advantage of, like even Hawaii, you know, in that fourth quarter the other night, we were able to move it against the Boise State secondary. So Starkel's the guy. And I think, the injury, he was kind of in and out. I think they tried to bring him back too soon. They went back to Nash for another game. And then I think he's here to stay now.
Yeah, Starkel. Yeah, he did come from A&M, but most recently was Arkansas. And then
that's right.
They both are kind of like, they were trying to kill clock against UNLV and they ran like a QB draw basically in first down. So Starkel's mobile enough and they throw and they're spread. And he if he misses a throw, it's only by a little bit, and they're not afraid to throw.
So not shy. Yeah,
I'm fascinated. I do think Boise over four quarters will probably cover. I think the over is the play though, because I do think their offense is. I just wonder if the pace for them, but they're going to have to keep up. And this Boise team, I mean, you got to throw out the game against BYU in terms of their like all those those stats. Although you said they're even incorporated. All right, man. That's all four. I like them all. Square plays. We have a lot of overs on the pod. Why not? We're all in on this.
Happy Thanksgiving. Let's bet all the overs.
Yeah, why not? What are you going to do? What are we going to do Thursday night with no Raven Steelers? That's the question.
It's frustrating. I know you like the Steelers. We were just chatting about it last night. And it's one of those, like, the Ravens have underachieved the last few weeks so dramatically. And this is what I told you. I was like, if there are COVID concerns, would they still try to play this game anyway? The line's going to move up to like 6, 6.5, 7. And then sure enough, Baltimore's probably going to find a way to win this outright. It'll be the Steelers' first loss of the season. That's just how it goes sometimes. So it wouldn't surprise me. I'm just absolutely staying away. I don't think I could get involved.
I know. I'm worried about Thanksgiving night, though. We don't have, like, well, I guess, are there any stupid basketball games on or anything like that? We'll have to look into that. All right, my man. Well, good stuff. I know you're busy with family obligations and all that. So I really appreciate your taking the time and joining us.
Yeah, no problem at all.
This is when the cream rises to the top. This is when things get hot. This is oven mitt time.
Time now to welcome in a friend of mine for a long, long time in Las Vegas. We've had him on the podcast before, but it's been a while. Chuck Edel, how are you, sir?
Hey, doing great, Doug. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for taking the time, especially on a holiday week and weekend, but I knew you'd have some strong plays. So I wanted to pick your brain and get you on the podcast as we have tweaked our format. So getting a lot more picks and more sort of quicker timing on everything. But, you know, it's an unusual year. It's certainly been, and we've all kind of been adjusting. But, you know, we have a few games in college football under our belt for each team. And you have some plays you're going to. And the game that a lot of people are on is the over in the Ole Miss, and that's one of your top plays.
Yeah, you know, this Ole Miss team plays as fast as anybody in the nation. You know, a lot of no-huddle offense. Doug, they average 80 plays a game. And but when you average 80 plays a game on offense and you're playing fast, it also puts a lot of pressure on your defense. And that defense of Ole Miss is letting up 41 points a game, 7.2 yards per play. You know, luckily for them, they're averaging 41 points a game and 7 yards per play on offense. But their defense is you take a look at their last game they played. They played South Carolina, who was a team who was 89th in the country on offense. They still let up 42 points to that South Carolina team. Fortunately, they scored 59. So that's how they like to play. They like to play a lot of high tempo, kind of like a basketball team who runs fast, you know. So, Mississippi State's been playing faster this year, too. They averaged 70 plays a game. Last year, they averaged 64.9 plays a game. So this is also a Mississippi State team who throws the ball an awful lot. They're 20th in the country in the passing the ball. So that should fare well for against the Mississippi pass defense, who is 116th. So Mississippi State struggles with the running the ball, but they definitely should get a little healthier because Mississippi's defense against the run, 125th in the country. Mississippi State also loves to throw the ball. Like I said, they throw the ball way more than they run. But this is a Mississippi State team who also struggles against the pass defensively. So, you know, you add all this up together and, on paper, and hopefully it plays out that way, it should really be a shootout.
Yeah, no, I'm curious about this Mississippi State offense involved because I'm on Ole Miss side, but it's because, look, this Bulldogs offense has been held 14 points or less in over half their games, four of their seven games. Two of them, they were offensively shut out. But you think Leach and company can kind of, like, this Rebels defense is enough to enable them to get contribute to this over that's, it's 68.5, I believe.
Yeah, you know, Mississippi State's played against some good defenses, but yeah. I think they, Mississippi has not been able to stop anybody. And like I said, the strength, if there is a strength on this Mississippi State offense, is their passing game. And that's something Mississippi has struggled to stop all season long. So I think they will be able to move the ball. And obviously defensively, though, they're going to have their hands full with Mississippi the way they throw and run the ball.
Okay, let's go to another game. And this Purdue-Rutgers game, we had ER was on the show last week. He was on the Purdue over, and he even had a quarterback change, and we still got there. It was a perfect situation. Just now you're getting Rondae Moore back. The offense is explosive. The defense, not so much. But involving Rutgers here, Rutgers at times can be a little frisky. At times they can be a headache. I was on Rutgers in the game against Illinois and three interceptions from the quarterback, so that did not make me feel good at all. But four of their five games have gone over the total, and you are obviously last week went over because of overtime, obviously went deep in overtime, but you're on the over here as well.
Yeah, the quarterback for Purdue, O'Donnell's most likely not going to play. Even if he was healthy, I'm not sure who the better quarterback is, to be honest with you. I thought Plummer looked really good last week. He was 35 for 42. He had three touchdowns. Everybody knows he should have had four touchdowns, except for the one official that disagreed with that, which I had Purdue, so I'm still hurting a little bit even to talk about it. But Plummer threw for 367 yards. Purdue throws the ball with Brome over there a lot more than they run the ball. He threw the ball in that game 42 times. They only ran it 25 times. In fact, this year for the season, Purdue has thrown 179 passes. They've only ran the ball 100 times. So another team who likes to throw the ball here. He also, you know, he's like you mentioned, Doug, he's also really helped by the return of Rondale Moore, one of the top wide receivers in the country. Last game, 15 receptions, 116 yards. And this Purdue team, you know, if you look at their offense, they're 63rd in the country, but they not bad considering, you know, two of their four games were against Northwestern and Iowa. Some decent defenses. And that's not a record. Rutgers doesn't compare defensively with them. Rutgers has the 95th rated pass defense in the country. They give up 36.8 points a game. But as you mentioned, they're scoring. I mean, they put up 42 points versus Michigan, 27 versus Ohio State. They're averaging 29 over 29 points a game. And listen, you know, we've seen Purdue play. You mentioned the game last week. That was a Minnesota team who was shorthanded. They had a bunch of guys missing for the COVID, and Purdue defense still struggled in that game. They gave up 34 points and 5.56 yards per play. And Rutgers is playing faster with Chiano over there than they were in the past. Listen, 74 plays a game they're averaging compared to last year's 61 plays. That is a huge jump. And you mentioned, Doug, four of their five games have gone over. And that's a big reason. You're talking about 13 more plays a game, and that's a pretty high increase. And I do like this one to go over the total.
Yeah, so maybe not the defensive-minded chopping wood all the time that we saw in Shiano's first run through with the Scarlet Knights. And another over, but this time in the ACC, Duke and Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I got a little overitis this week. I probably play, as you know, I play more unders than overs, but I thought these three overs kind of stood out a little bit, and hopefully they come through. You know, Georgia Tech, they've been off 3 weeks, actually, because of some of the teams that they've had to play with issues. But they've got a young team. They've got a freshman quarterback, Jeff Sims, who has been showing improvement. And, you know, when you throw out a freshman quarterback, it's tough, especially who they have on their they've had on their schedule. I mean, they had to play Notre Dame and Clemson two of the last four games, I believe. Those defenses, I don't care who the quarterback is, they're going to make it hard on you. Duke will be the worst defense they've faced this year. Georgia Tech likely, they like to play fast too. A new coach here plays very fast. And sometimes it's tough to play fast when you're up against those Notre Dames and Clemson teams because it's tough to move the ball on it. But the Duke defense, they're giving up 32.4 points a game, 5.73 yards per play. But the Duke offense, they've been playing faster this year also. They average 75 plays a game. And that's going up against the Georgia Tech defense now, who allows 39.7 points a game. Georgia Tech for 6 yards, more than 6 yards per play. The last six games, 44 points a game. They gave up 37. A game that sticks out to me is they gave up 37 points to Syracuse. That's a team who is 121st in the country. Syracuse averages 16 points a game. They gave up 37 to them. So this Duke offense has been improving. They've averaged over 33 points their last five games. So another game that to me looks like an up and down. They both like to play fast, and I see a lot of points in this one as well.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Syracuse. Yeah, that one will certainly stick out to anyone as well. Look, man, great catching up on those. Quick on the pod. It was good to catch up a little bit leading up to the taping, but always on the ball with things. So I wanted to get you back on here and get you into the rotation, man. Good to have you, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too, Doug. Thanks. Always good to talk to you.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Behind the Bets podcast. A little different schedule this week. As you know, Mr. Executive Director John Murray, we did that on Tuesday in the NFL. Today was college football, and we'll be posting the UFC podcast on Friday. So appreciate everyone downloading, rating, reviewing, subscribing, and flexibility. And again, it's a new kind of vibe right now on the podcast. Next week will be full-blown, new tone, new everything. So hopefully you appreciate it. More insight, more opinions, more picks. And let's keep it moving here. So thanks to everyone. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll touch base Friday with the UFC podcast.